Hi, and welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we offer our expert advice so you can have a phenomenal sex life. You can suggest topics for future episodes by heading over to pleasuremechanics.com, where you will also find a complete podcast archive. At the time of this recording, it is February, and you know what that means. The stores are filled with heart-shaped candies, and the florists are busy gathering red roses, because we're coming up on Valentine's Day. We're going to explore how to make romance authentic instead of generic, what is true romance, and next week we're going to share a 10-step plan on how to have an epic, fabulous Valentine's Day.
Or romantic night if it is later in the year.
Right.
Because all of these tips hold true whatever day it is.
Every day is Valentine's Day in the Pleasure Mechanics universe. But romance. So today we're going to talk about romance and romantic sex, what that means, what it looks like, and how you can have a genuine, authentic relationship to romance. Because for so many of us, romance feels pretty corny. What do you think?
It can be so generic that there's the meal, there's the heart-shaped candy, as you were saying, and the red roses, and that's kind of where we leave it. Maybe there's a little extra foreplay, and then there's intercourse where there may or may not be eye gazing. You know, there's this idea of...
there's a scripted package of romantic sex.
Yes. And some of those elements can be gorgeous and beautiful, and sometimes they can feel hollow. So I think it's really important to explore it and think about it and see what's real and what's exciting and interesting and feels romantic for you.
Well, I think Valentine's Day is a lot like New Year's Eve in that a lot of people come into the holiday with really high expectations and hopes and then end up feeling a little disappointed. And over the years, this leads to kind of a love-hate relationship to Valentine's Day, because our culture tells us it should be this glorious celebration of love and romance, and you're going to make these grand gestures, and then your lover, maybe, if you're lucky, remembers to get a Hallmark card and leave it on the table with some candies, or you go out to a meal and the restaurant is crowded and there's all these other people and you get this like wilted red rose from the server, and it just feels kind of generic, as you said, or hollow. And what we want to do on this episode is explore what are the core elements of romance and how to make it a little more authentic. Because this scripted package doesn't work for most people. It feels generic. It feels like replaceable. Like you could be anyone receiving this same box of chocolates and the same bouquet of roses like millions of people are doing across the country. And without personalization and without an authentic drive behind the romance, it doesn't really hit home, and it leaves us feeling a little empty. And we don't want that for you. We want you to feel really loved and taken care of and seen and valued. And so here's our ideas about genuine, authentic romance. And romantic sex, right? So there's romance in the bedroom and romance out of the bedroom, and they relate. So let's look at what are the most common elements of romance and romantic sex.
As we go through and explore these common elements of romantic sex, listen for which elements you and your partner naturally bring into your relationship and which you're already good at, and then which ones you feel like you could choose to amp up or pay more attention to create an even more romantic experience for both of you, if you want to.
All right, so the first big element is authentic emotion. Romance is deeply emotional. It expresses intense desire, longing, affection, and this can look like urgent lustiness or very quiet, deep affection after many years of loving and living together. But this idea of authentic emotion, I think, really has to be there for something to feel authentically romantic. don't you think?
I do. And I think that sometimes we're just going through our life and we forget why we picked this person, why we love this person. And so you can take some time to remember why you love this person. Think through some of your favorite memories, some of the high points of your relationship.
So you're saying bring up those emotions so you can then express them.
For yourself, yeah, because sometimes they're not present. You're just more thinking about the trash and who did the laundry and all those more mundane experiences. And you can create the experience of having more emotion about your partner.
So tap into your emotions. Give yourself permission to really feel all of your emotions about this partner and about your relationship. And then choose to express them, whether that's verbally or in a handwritten note or even in texts. However you can do it, express your authentic emotion and bring that to the table.
Yeah, so that can take a little bit of effort potentially and feels it's a generated experience. And that's okay.
For some people, the emotion is brimming over and it's right there.
Right.
For other people, you gotta
dig a little bit.
Yeah. Dig your well. Into the pool of your emotions that's lying there. Okay, so the next element, and I think this is an important one that we often forget, is drama. Romance cuts through the routine of everyday life and creates a moment of drama. And this is what we're doing when we dress up for a fancy date at a fancy restaurant. You take a little extra time, you put on a costume, which is really what fancy dress is. It's a costume to create a certain mood. And you create a moment of drama, or you pull your lover into a slow dance in the middle of the living room, or you show up unexpected at their workplace and whisk them off for a lunch date. There's something about creating an unexpected moment, a moment of heightened drama that adds to the romantic appeal. And this doesn't have to be a flash mob of 100 people in the town square. You know, I think we see these YouTube videos of romantic proposals and it seems so out of reach. It really can be as simple as pulling your lover away from the sink as she's doing dishes, pulling her into a slow dance, whispering how much you love her in her ear, and creating just that moment of specialness.
I think this is an underused element in our personal lives. We see it in the movies and on TV a lot, and I think people crave what they see on the screen. But you really can create romantic drama with your lover quite easily if you use your creativity and ingenuity and playfulness.
One of our favorite tips is to get a mixed bouquet of flowers. It's probably $10 to $12. Even your grocery store will have nice flowers. And instead of giving your lover the bouquet, break it up into lots of little flower arrangements around the house. So every time they walk in a room, there are flowers waiting. And get little glasses, little juice glasses, and just arrange one or two little flowers here, one or two flowers there. And it's this little moment of surprise every time they go in. Oh, there's one in the bathroom. Oh, there's one next to my bed. Oh, there's one in my office. And these little gestures, so instead of just being like, here, honey, I brought you flowers, you take a little bit extra effort and you create these moments of surprise. So that's just one example.
Bonus if you want to leave a love note with each one about something that you love or appreciate about your partner. I mean, that's just not that expensive, but takes effort and you're paying attention to your lover. And that is really at the core of romance.
Right. Or get a pad of sticky notes and write one little thing that you love about them or one little love note or one favorite memory and leave them around the house one day. So when they come home from work, there's 20 post-it notes all around the house waiting for them, creating little moments of romance and surprise at every turn. Super fun, not that expensive, really easy to do. It just takes that effort and that putting yourself out there. Another core element here is presence. For a truly romantic experience, you need to both be fully present and paying attention to one another, allowing yourself to feel the connection of romance and intimacy. And this is one of those things that can be hard to do in today's busy world, but it means putting away your phones. It means not focusing on life's mundane details, but paying full attention to one another. So if you go to an expensive restaurant and you've dressed up, but you're constantly checking your phone, it's going to drain the romance out of the situation quicker than anything else, because your lover is there, ready for you to pay attention to them, and you are checking the football scores instead, or checking in on Instagram. Not cool. Not romantic. So challenge yourself to really show up, and for this period of time, pay full attention to one another. The power of this simple gesture cannot be underestimated, and it is something you really feel. And we've had partners say to us, you know, our marriage is going okay, we have these great kids, the biggest problem in our relationship is the iPhone. And that's just sad to me. So especially on holidays, especially when you're trying to create a romantic evening together, put away the technology, try to clear your minds, and be present for one another.
The most romantic thing I think that you can possibly do is give somebody your full attention and presence. I think all the rest of this
And that's free. Sorry, Hallmark.
Yeah, all the rest of this, I think, adds to the elements and adds to the experience, but truly your presence is what everyone wants. Everyone wants to feel cherished and paid attention to. And this is how you do it. You just put all of your focus and attention on the person in front of you.
And how do you show someone that you're doing that? What are the physical actions of that?
Eye contact is the most essential. You turn towards them. If you want to, you can be sharing some kind of touch, hands over the table, like holding hands.
You can respond to what they're saying, you know, asking follow-up questions. Tell me more. How do you feel about that? What do you remember about that? These simple follow-up questions show that you're paying attention to what they're saying.
Asking good questions in general is great, and then follow-up questions. But so many of us, once we feel like we know our partners, but if you can kind of generate ideas of questions to ask, you can have conversations that you've never had before. And that can be really romantic.
Right, or dig a little deeper into what you know about one another. So this idea of paying attention to one another. And what that leads to is a personalized experience of romance. So instead of getting the red roses, because that's what you do, because they're obviously the most romantic flower, duh, like, I don't even know who came up with this, but what if your partner loves tulips, and so you forgo the roses, and instead you buy beautiful arrangements of tulips, and you know that they're going to love the tulips more than the roses. That is this personalized gesture that shows you've been paying attention to them. The same goes for presents and gifts. If you know what your partner has been craving, desiring, and you know that, you know, spring is coming and what they would really love is a nice lightweight scarf, and you know their favorite color, you know their favorite material, and you can go to that perfect store and pick out a scarf you know they're going to love. That is a personalized gift, and it's going to mean so much more than something generic and scripted. An experience together, you travel to a new city to go see your partner's favorite sports team play, or you go to a Broadway show because you know your partner's always wanted to do that. You can create these experiences together. And for some people, experiences and shared time is much more important than a physical gift. Other people want the jewelry, they want the bling, and you need to know your partner to know what kind of gift, what you should spend your money on to make the most impact. And again, these are personalized gestures, and they just land so much more deeply, not only because you're fulfilling the desire, but because there's a fulfilled desire there of being paid attention to and feeling seen, and that is almost more important than the object itself.
Absolutely, because it can also look like somebody really loves fluffernutter sandwiches, and so you I don't know why that came into my mind, but you create a little, like, you know, little triangles of fluffernutter sandwiches as an appetizer with your flowers and to prepare for your evening. You know, you're just paying attention.
Right, instead of going to the expensive restaurant and you give them their ultimate
favorite
food, Fluffernutters, mac and cheese, and ice cream sundaes.
That you've made. And, you know, it's yeah. not about your... Yeah, I know. It's not about your budget. It's about paying attention and responding and creativity. And I keep a Google document about things that Chris likes because I have a really bad memory.
Huh.
And do you not know that?
No.
Because
that's awesome.
Because I you know, there are things I just like wish he has said, oh, I wish I could have blah. Or at some point I would like blah. And I write it down because when it gets to her birthday or whatever, sometimes I'll forget and be like, what does she want again? There's no shame in that. It's just, it's to remind yourself to pay attention and to make note of when you hear that somebody is interested in something.
Perfect. And we are not a gift giving couple.
Yeah, we are not into that really.
We are a buy what you want, when you want it kind of couple. And for holidays and birthdays, we tend to create experiences together because, and you introduced me to this, the idea that experiences, although fleeting, create memories and create this bank of shared experiences that we can then draw on. And so that's what we do. We go on little mini holidays just to the next town over, or we do something unusual.
Sculpture gardens, picnics, always includes massage, good food, ideally sex.
Yeah. Not in the sculpture gardens.
No.
All right. So all of these elements, authentic emotion, drama, presence, personalization, lead up to the ultimate expression of romance, which is connection. You know, there's lots of different kinds of sex. Not all sex has to be romantic. There's intense sex where you're expressing pent-up emotions, and there's anonymous sex where you don't even know the person's name. You're just kind of doing it as two animal bodies. There is playful sex. There's all sorts of kinds of sex. Romantic sex at its core is about the connection of two souls and two bodies coming together as one. And that's trite, and that's, you know, this idea of like, ooh, we are merging into one body. But it's really what it's about is that connection, that fusing of energy into something other than two individuals. And that is this ultimate expression of romantic sex, and that takes that connection. And to make that connection possible, you need to both be present, you both need to be aware, you both need to be expressing your emotions authentically, and then when you come together into the act of sex, something beyond the physical act happens. It's an expression of emotion, of devotion, of commitment, and that is what you feel when you have this heart-opening romantic sex. Right?
Whew.
It's hard to put into words.
It is, and the activities that you're doing can be varied. I think in our culture we think about, again, I said, sort of extended foreplay, and then maybe you're staring into each other's eyes if you're brave.
As you have intercourse.
Right. And that can be fabulous, but it also, for some couples...
doesn't matter. You could just be naked, holding one another.
Right, or giving each other a spanking. It's about giving each other what you're craving, I think. It's about meeting your needs and feeling like, what would be really fantastic this evening? What do we want that would feel really fun? It could just be cuddling naked because you are both so exhausted and you just want to be together. And no pressure.
But what then makes it romantic? Because we give that advice all the time of do what you feel like, take intercourse off mandatory to-do list. Like, we give that advice all the time. What specifically makes it romantic sex?
I think Valentine's Day, there is so much obligatory sex. So I think if you are saying, actually, it's okay, we don't have to have intercourse because it is this big, fancy, romantic night, that is really romantic, to be paying attention to one another enough and caring about one another enough that there are no requirements.
Agreed. But then you're doing whatever activity.
Yeah.
What makes it romantic?
that you're fully paying attention to each other, that you're connected, that you're sharing with each other why you love and adore each other, that you're pointing out all of the things about their body that you particularly love, whether that's the freckles or the particular muscles or curves, or you're expressing and connecting with this particular human.
Uh-huh.
And you're letting that be known.
Uh-huh.
Through words and energy, that you are so grateful and happy that you are connecting with this person, that they are irreplaceable to you in this moment.
And it takes some vulnerability to do this, both to express it and to receive it. Because if your partner's really opening up and saying how much they love your body and they're grateful to you, and you're just brushing it off like, yeah, 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 honey, I know, that doesn't create that circuit. If you really receive their romantic gestures, their authentic emotions, it then creates this circuit where they feel seen, you feel seen, they feel vulnerable, you feel vulnerable, and you start spiraling into this emotional, intense connection. And I think that's how you get to this heightened plane of intimacy that so many of us crave, this merging of the bodies. And it doesn't matter if you're having intercourse or not, that merging into one is not actually about the physical act of penetration. It's about an energetic connection where your bodies melt together and your emotions connect, and you feel like you are a greater entity than two individuals. And I think that is the pinnacle of romance, when you feel like you've created a third entity that's about the two of you together. You're looking at me with these wide eyes.
I think that's beautiful, but I think that's big for people.
But I think we all touch on that sometimes, and I think that's where sometimes we want to go with sex.
We want to get epic.
You want to get beyond your mundane life, you want to get beyond this sense of just individual plodding through the world and feel a connection to something heavenly.
Uh-huh.
And for me, at least, and, you know, listeners, if you have a different understanding of what the pinnacle of romantic sex is, I'd love to hear it. What does that look and feel like to you? Because it is hard to put into words. But for me, this idea of merging with another person and your connection creating this third entity that's beyond who you are as an individual that you cannot create with any other person on earth. You are creating something very specific together through your fusion. That, to me, is romance. And we use all of these other tools to get there, but ultimately it's about allowing that merging, that connection to happen. And this doesn't have to happen in bed. We're talking specifically about romantic sex, but I've experienced it with you on road trips or out in nature, when we just feel like the two of us together is something bigger than our parts. So we have a lot more to say about romance. I was planning on dipping into the historical construct of romance, and I want to talk at some point about romantic comedies and how they actually depict stalking more than anything else, and how we should back away from the rom-com slowly. There's a lot more about romance to talk about, and we'll just do that in future episodes, because I think we have covered the core of romantic sex here. And next week, on Friday, we're going to share a 10-step plan for an epic Valentine's Day. So we'll just talk more about romance in the future. How about that?
It seems good. It seems like a perennial topic.
You know, someone recently said to us, one of the things I love about your podcast is that week after week, you're there for me. And it feels like every time I tune into you, I have this friend that I can listen to about sex. And it's that consistency that you're there for me twice a week that I love. And I just was so moved by that, because this idea that we're in this ongoing conversation, we're in this ongoing community, even though we may never meet in person, although we may, who knows, that we have this ongoing relationship. And I hear from so many of you through email, and I love that. Keep those emails coming. You can reach us at pleasuremechanics.com. And it's just really important to us that we feel like we have an intimate connection with you. It's a bit of a romantic friendship with all of you. And we really appreciate it. So those were our thoughts on romantic sex and how to get there. Next week, we'll share kind of more of the practical details about how to structure your date night for an epic Valentine's Day. Any closing thoughts, my love?
Of course, you know, if you listen in an ongoing way, that we do have all sorts of beautiful online erotic mastery courses that you can bring to your romantic sex. Having more skills, having better touch skills, be able to take your partner to higher levels of pleasure and orgasm if you choose to include that in your lovemaking, can be beautifully romantic. So we are here for you in these free podcasts, and then we have these beautiful mastery courses if you want to dig deeper with us and bring that to your bedroom.
And where can they find them?
PleasureMechanics.com. You can always gift your lover one of these courses, you know. That you want to have these experiences with them.
Beautiful. And use the code Speaking of Sex for 20% off the course of your choice. Find a complete podcast archive at pleasuremechanics.com. You can be in touch with us there.
And you can also sign up for our newsletter to get goods every week.
I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We're the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure and romantic sex.
Cheers.